This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And in the hot seat, we have...
We have Gaudi Bezos O'Connor. She's from NASA.
NASA.
We love NASA.
We always got to do that. It's a thing.
Yeah,
it is. NASA, good.
She's a manager here for the Electrified Powertrain Flight Demonstrator. That's a lot of big words.
I was going to say, it doesn't fit on the business card.
No, it sure doesn't.
No. They probably just call it EPFD, right?
Absolutely.
See, yes. The Department of Acronyms is working overtime.
The alphabet agency strike again. So what is this all about? What exactly is the EPFD?
So EPFD is a partnership with industry to demonstrate that we can actually hybrid electrify aircraft propulsion. So think of a Prius.
And right.
It's a flying Prius, but it's a flying Prius for big airplanes. These are flight demonstrations where industry is bringing their technology that will allow us to harness electrification and help with flying the airplane with gas turbine engines. So it is a strategy to reduce our carbon footprint. So if we're successful in demonstrating the feasibility of having hybrid electric aircraft propulsion at large airplane, Part 25 airplanes, we will then reduce our carbon footprint, reduce our emissions, and enable better fuel efficiency and reduce our maintenance costs, because hybrid electric would be less costly to maintain than the current gas turbine engines that we have today.
Okay, so I'm thinking like a diesel locomotive. You're going to have a gas turbine turning a generator, but your main propulsion will be electric motors.
So it'll be a part. It'll depend on the architecture. Like, we have one partner, MagniX, and it's a small company that is out of Everett, Washington, and they're doing regional turboprop engines on a de Havilland Dash 7. So that airplane has four turboprops. So two will be hybrid, and two will be gas turbine. So they're separate, right? They're not a merging of both the electrification and the gas and the fuel. Our other partner is GE Aerospace with Boeing, and they're flying their demonstration on a Saab 340. And the Saab 340 is a two turboprop aircraft, and they're going to integrate their powertrain with the CT7 engine, and they'll fly one engine hybrid and one engine as a gas turbine engine.
So the electrified part of the engine will be battery powered?
Currently, the energy storage source is batteries, because those are the only technology system available right now that will provide the energy that we need to drive the electrification system that's going to be designed and built.
Okay, so if we extend the Prius analogy, will they be able to recharge batteries in flight from the gas turbine?
So both partners have different strategies. One will be doing recharge, and one will be doing battery depleting. System.
Okay, so it's like a takeoff and then save the rest for landing kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay, that was easy enough.
Well, the question being is, in an existing vehicle, where are you putting the batteries?
So, in the cheap seats.
So for the demonstrations, these Part 25 airplanes are 40 to 50 passengers. And right now we're using the entire fuselage to carry the batteries, because the majority of the fuselage. They're both cargo configurations, so the Dash 7 is the cargo configuration, it's the combi. And the Saab isn't a cargo specific, but it has space inside it. So we're not having any passengers, it's just going to be the actual pilot
crew. Right,
well,
technology demonstrator, right.
Right, so they're demonstrators. At the end of the day, the remaining challenges are to reduce the footprint of the battery systems or the energy storage systems for retrofit capability. We have an eBeaver right now that's here at Oshkosh, and they're still able to fly their passengers. It's a six-passenger aircraft, so it's small. It's a seaplane. And they do have space for the batteries that still allows for commercial revenue. So that's their strategy to do.
It is a hybrid. It's not a pure electric.
No, it's a pure electric.
Oh, wow.
It's being run with a Magni 650. It's the MagniX technology system at
nice.
Part 23.
That's got to be one big hunk of an electric motor.
It's beautiful. It's out there.
It's come a radial.
Yeah. No, come out to the Magniac site, and you can see a static display, and they're hopefully going to be flying as part of the seaplane demonstrations either today or tomorrow.
So well, that's going to be interesting because all you'll hear is the prop.
It's really quiet. Yeah. So they were saying that, I kiddingly said to them, so we need to have some simulated noise.
Yeah.
So people know that it's coming because it will be very quiet.
Well, we'll get the announcers to tell everybody to go...
So this is a technology demonstrator. You're aiming towards commercial viability of this, but you realize, you know, you're working with the roadblocks that you have. Like you just mentioned, the size of the batteries, energy density of batteries is the big key right now.
Yes.
There's got to be another major revolution in batteries before we can really get this stuff off the ground on a large scale.
So we try to look at this from like an energy source perspective. So you have options. Batteries obviously are a part of it, and it's the near-term solution. And you see that in the small airplanes, Part 23 airplanes. They can have batteries right now. For the larger airplanes, power density is really, really, really key.
It's everything.
We can look at hydrogen fuel cells. We could look at SAF. So it's going to be a combination solution. So NASA and industry view energy store, the electrification solution, as an and to other things that we need to do to impact the transport category aircraft.
I was going to say, how many AA batteries would it take to electrify one of these things?
No, you can see. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be landing in Dallas for a four-hour layover for charging.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're probably, 10, 15 years out of any kind of commercial?
No, actually, both partners have different strategies on how to adopt hybrid electric. Magniex is a small company. Regional Turboprops is their target market. And they're looking for 200 nautical mile capability. And they're working towards getting a battery that will be aviation grade. So it'll be able to operate.
You're going to have some sort of quick swap capability in order to turn the plane around.
Exactly, yes. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done beyond our demonstration. We're about feasibility. We're about saying that at the vehicle level, we understand what the requirements are. We understand the test methodologies to get to regulations and standards for electrification. So that's really important. Our other partner, GE, is looking at the 737 class, the A320, 21, the big airplanes, the narrow body big airplanes. And that's going to be a long-term solution where they have an architecture that they're working towards. And it's called the RISE program. And so they're looking to incorporate hybrid in that. And this demonstration gives them the feasibility to validate the performance capability of the powertrain system that they have. These are their architectures. They're not NASA's. So we're partnering with them to learn together and help accelerate industries, U.S. industries' capabilities to enable hybrid electric to be real.
So NASA, for once, is not actually designing the hardware, but you're providing test capability, integration capability?
So we do have a facility out at in Sandusky, Ohio, that is a simulated high-altitude chamber where we can test the powertrain systems. And both of our partners have done that. And so they at least can validate the performance on a simulated basis.
Right.
Our role is really to just do knowledge sharing of, this is industry testing it in a manner that enables them to give the green light for a commercial product.
Okay.
So it's
not really your baby. You're just helping out.
We're helping. We're doing airworthiness. One of the roles that NASA has is to ensure that this test demonstration is using the best practices. So obviously very experienced folks, both Magniex and GE, know how to do flight tests. So it's a collaboration, and it's that knowledge sharing of, well, what are the test methodologies that we need to do? What are the ground tests that we need to do? And learning together on how to best provide credible engineering data. That's really key. This is a very robust, rigorous process, deliberate, to enable to provide the test information, the test data, the methodologies to the FAA, ASTM, and SAE communities so they can say, okay, so how do we make and capture this new knowledge to provide means of compliance for electrification.
Right, right. You're also helping develop those regulations.
NASA doesn't develop. We just help facilitate and share.
But you can say to FAA, it's been our experience that... maybe we should think about this.
We are collaborating with our industry partners to share our knowledge with the FAA.
Right. Okay. We're not there yet.
It's a big experiment is what you're doing, which is what NASA does best. And you're trying to prove the feasibility of this. What happens if this turns out to be not feasible? You know, be devil's advocate here.
Well, so both partners have a lot of experience working, doing their due diligence to ensuring that this demonstration is viable. MagniX has actually flown 5 platforms from a eBeaver Caravan, Aviation Alice airplane, a Robinson 44 helicopter.
A helicopter. Wow.
Yeah, so they have a really great body of knowledge and evidence that their architecture is viable for Part 23 airplanes. And they also did the universal hydrogen demonstration on a Dash 8, where they actually did a hybrid on one side and with hydrogen fuel cells and then gas turbine on the other side for the Dash 8. Dash 8 is a 2-turboprop aircraft. So they have a lot of experience there. GE has been doing a tremendous amount of research at the fundamental level on hybrid electric for the last almost 15 years. So both of these entities really have a very good understanding of the challenges. But the unknown unknowns, right? You're going to a Part 25 airplane. There are high voltage cables. We have to deal with the integration of a gas turbine architecture with the electrification architecture, the controls and all that. But these are the right partners to get us to a feasible demonstration.
You know, I wonder if on the electric engine, if you have to pull blades through before you start it.
Oh, I'd hate it when an electric engine get hydrolocked. That could be bad.
Yeah, and hot starting. You came to the wrong people if you want to talk science.
Well, you know, and the one thing is, and I've been aware of this for years, I'm an RC modeler at times, so I've seen RCs go from the highly unreliable and very heavy NICADs up to the lithium LiPos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we've had to adapt with is that LiPos do not like abuse at all. Overcharging, physical impacts, all bad.
You know, yeah. Unkind words.
That too. Poor flying as well.
Yeah. Now, you guys have to be watching battery technologies like a hawk. I mean, there's lithium titanate. And now they're talking about a pure solid state battery. And you got to be hoping. Come on. We need them.
So the battery, I mean, to make this a viable industry, we are going to need innovations in the energy source.
Yeah.
Energy storage systems.
Yeah, because what you have to duplicate is the energy density that you would find in a gallon of Jet A.
That's correct.
When you hit that threshold, you've got it.
So our studies are showing that, you know, the biggest bang for the buck from hybrid electric perspective is e-taxi, helping with climb. Uh-huh. Cruise, you know, if it's hybrid, right, Jet A is the most efficient to use at cruise. So we're not going to need hybrid at cruise. It's the other parts of the mission that will be where we can add value.
Right. Takeoff, like you said.
And e-taxi. That's really important.
Yeah, you can burn a tremendous amount of fuel in taxiing, especially if you're number 30 in line.
Okay. And remember that, you know, our goal is to get to net zero emissions by 2050. So being able to transfer to a non-carbon-based fuel system or some portion of it.
Have you guys looked at advanced rubber bands?
No.
Maybe you should.
Okay. I'll take that under advisement and take it to my technical team.
Got to take a crap load of rubber bands to get this thing to fly.
I'm sorry, our flight's been delayed. We're short crew to rewind the airplane.
I recommended pedals the other day. I think that's an idea. It's got to be an exciting field to be in. I mean, so much cool stuff is happening.
It is. You know, we're at the precipice to transforming aviation. It's just been amazing, fantastic people to work with. And the technical teams, both NASA's teams and our partners' teams, have been a delight. And we are all so passionate. We're going to make this work, and we'll be back in a couple years or three and show our airplanes.
Well, right now, off the bat, I would like to offer our services as ballast.
If yes.
you need weight and balance correction,
we're
heavy and okay. we don't do anything.
That's right.
Yes.
We're as useless as ballast can be.
That's right. Strap us on. We're good.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting program, but I have to tell you, I really think you've got your hands full because there's just so many aspects on this that have to be addressed. You know, and of course, battery safety being a number one.
I agree.
And yeah. You know, they don't want us shipping lithium batteries on the airplane, and here it is, powered by lithium batteries.
We airworthiness is our prime directive. We must be safe in all operations, and I think we have the right technical teams working that to solve that problem.
Very good. Very good.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun with this. We've been interviewing Gaudi Bezos O'Connor, manager at NASA for the Electrified Powertrain Flight Demonstrator. I'm Fast Eddie, still running on carbon.
I'm Digital Dave, running on gas.
And this is EAA Radio.